27. Gilbert shouted,
"We have to find a way to redirect this electricity."
"Agreed," Sid said. "I shall return forthwith."
Sid disappeared. Less than a second later, he reappeared, standing on the ground near Philip, wearing a wetsuit, thick rubber galoshes, and his top hat. Under one arm, he held a copper cable as big around as a man's wrist. The cable snaked in front of him and attached to the bottom of a long metal rod he held in his other hand, like a sword. From its connection to the metal rod, the cable stretched the full length of the great hall and disappeared out the door. The lightning leaped from Philip to the rod. As the bolts of electricity had been cascading out from Philip to all of the other wizards, when the lightning left Philip, it abandoned the others as well. They all fell to the floor, moaning and writhing in pain, smoke rising from their scorched robes. Sid, protected by his wetsuit, let go of the cable and the lightning rod, dropping the raging torrent of raw power to the floor. The electrical arc streaming down from the sky remained locked to the lightning rod. Gilbert rushed forward and started helping the badly singed wizards back to their feet. Sid did the same. Philip asked,
"What are you two doing here?"
"Came to watch, didn't we?"
Gilbert replied.
"You couldn't possibly have dreamed that we'd allow so momentous an event to transpire without being on hand to witness said doings," Sid added.
Gwen said,
"Yeah, I'm willing to bet the kids are here too."
"Concealed within the rafters, snug as proverbial bugs in their metaphorical rug," Sid said. "It might be an advantageous time to wave up at them, just to let them know they are not, in fact, orphans."
Martin and Gwen both waved in the direction Sid pointed. Philip said,
"Everyone, we have to get after the Magnuses. There's no telling what those two idiots might do. Come on."
He took off, flying straight through one of the few remaining unbroken windows. As the other wizards began lifting off the ground and following Philip through the newly shattered window, Tyler asked,
"Hey, does it look like it's getting darker out?"
Sid said,
"That plays to our advantage. The sign will show up better that way."
Philip soared above the city, followed by the rest of the wizards and the two magicians. High winds buffeted them, and a thick bank of clouds rolled in from the horizon on all sides, obscuring the sun and making the constant stream of lightning stretching from the heavens into the castle window only slightly less incongruous. Gwen looked back over her shoulder, then turned around, flying backward to get a good look at the castle behind them.
"Sid,"
she said,
"I assume that's your doing?"
Martin and Philip both looked back to see a massive neon sign on the roof of the castle, made of 50-foot letters, connected to the copper cable. The sign read,
"Insufficient effort, old bean."
Beneath the large letters, smaller but still fully legible print read, "By the by, this sign is fully powered by your own lightning." Martin said,
"If you have to explain your joke like that, you probably shouldn't bother."
Sid shook his head.
"I'm quite sure I don't require any presentation tips from you, Martin."
He looked away from the others and adjusted his top hat, pulling it down tighter over his wetsuit cowl. The clouds closed in, forming a hole that allowed only a single shaft of sunlight through. In the city below, people poured out of the buildings to gaze up in fascination and horror at the turbulent sky. As the wizards and the people of London watched, the opening in the clouds divided into several distinct holes. The cloud ceiling bulged and warped until the clouds had formed into a three-dimensional image of Magnus Rex's face, smiling down at them, sunlight streaming from his eyes, mouth, and nostrils. Beside and seemingly just behind him, the image of Magnus Galka's face also appeared. Magnus Galka cleared his throat. The sound seemed to come from the hole in the cloud cover representing his mouth and was loud enough to be heard for miles around. He made a blowing noise, puckering his lips and constricting the sunlight from his mouth into a thin stream, then said,
"Okay, I've got it working. We're live, Magnus. I'll introduce you."
Magnus Galka smiled down at the city, pausing for a moment so the people could bask in the literal light of his smile.
Greetings, friends! My name is Magnus. I come to you today with splendid news. Life-changing news. News that will ensure safety, security, and prosperity for you and everyone you love. You will remember this. The moment that I brought you this news for the rest of your lives. I am here to tell you that for the common good and for the good of the common, we are all going to come together. One happy family, united by our shared values, our shared sense of purpose, and guided by the compassionate judgment, optimistic vision, and firm hand of our shared ruler. Starting this very moment, you have the honor of following my friend and our beloved leader, Magnus.
Magnus Rex said,
Hi, everybody.
Magnus Galka said,
Go on, don't be shy. Address your subjects.
You already said everything.
Below the wizards, the people lining the streets made a raucous noise, but the wind in the distance and the great number of people yelling muddied the sound enough to make it impossible for the wizards to make out any coherent meaning. The image of Magnus Rex in the clouds squinted, narrowing the beams of sunlight coming from its eyes into two flat planks of yellow light.
What is that? I can't quite hear you.
The image of Magnus Galka said,
I'd suggest that it doesn't really matter all that much what the specific people on the ground right now have to say.
Shush! I'm trying to listen to the little people. All you down there, please, speak up!
The people on the ground grew louder, but even more difficult to understand with the increased volume and urgency of their words. Philip rolled his eyes and turned to the other 24 wizards floating in the air above the city.
I'll be right back.
Philip flew at top speed down closer to the ground, only a few feet above the heads of the crowd gathered in front of the castle gates. He hovered there for a moment, nodded, and shot back up into the sky again. Philip reappeared in the sky below the titanic floating faces of the Magnuses. In a voice amplified just as powerfully as the Magnuses, Philip said,
I went down and checked. Their answer is no.
Magnus Galka nodded.
Ah, I see. I fear there's been a misunderstanding.
Yeah,
Philip said.
I think there has.
What Magnus said wasn't a request. It was a statement of fact. And now the people of Camelot...
London,
Philip said.
It was renamed Camelot.
Then it was renamed again, back to London.
But most of us still call it Camelot.
No, I don't think that's true.
Philip turned around.
Show of hands, how many of you call this city London?
Most of the wizards raised their hands. Below in the city streets, not everybody raised their hands, but enough did that the height of the crowd seemed to rise by over a foot. Philip turned back to face the Magnuses, arms folded and a smug smile on his face. Magnus Rex whined,
Does it really matter?
Magnus Galka said,
Yes, faithful friend, it does. When we make an example of a city, it's very important that people know what to call it. We don't want people saying, Did you hear about the awful thing Magnus did to that city? You know, the one that had the castle? It muddies the message. Bad branding.
Philip said,
We won't let you hurt anybody.
Magnus Galka laughed.
A very wise person once said, The question's not who's going to let me, it's who's going to stop me.
Philip winced.
Isn't that Ayn Rand?
Yes, it is. I didn't know you were a fan.
Philip sneered.
I'm not. First of all, if Ayn Rand had been as wise as you say, she'd have come up with a pen name where the spelling and the pronunciation matched. Secondly, I just answered the question, who's going to stop you? Us! We won't let you. You should pay attention. unless you think knowing what's going on around you doesn't serve your enlightened self-interest.
Magnus Galka said,
If people like you would actually read The Fountainhead, or preferably Atlas Shrugged instead of just making fun, you might actually learn something about how the world works, but no matter. How exactly do you intend to stop him? Oh no, is Martin gonna turn big? Will Tyler become a clone of one of us to fight Magnus with Magnus? Will Gwen tangle us up in fabric, and will Roy fly into us at high speed?
Philip stared at Magnus Galka's immense cloud image for a long moment before muttering,
Maybe.
We've been watching. We've seen your moves. You will find that Magnus is prepared.
Which Magnus?
Both. Both of us. We are both prepared. Why is this so confusing?
Philip opened his mouth to speak, but never got the words out as he was knocked to the side by a powerful stream of glowing blue energy that shot past him from behind and plunged into the space between the two immense Magnus heads, where it detonated in a massive explosion that blasted a hole in the cloud cover over a mile wide. The shockwave blew Philip and the other flying wizards almost all the way to the ground. The only one unaffected was Martin, who had fired the shot in the first place. The hole in the cloud swiftly closed, and the faces of the two Magnuses reformed. Magnus Galka smiled down at them.
Like I said, we studied your moves. One thing they all have in common is that they only work if you know where the person you're attacking is. Which you don't. Which is why you just wasted your time trying to shoot a cloud.
Gwen had clearly triggered the amplification spell herself, as her voice was easily audible across the city when she said,
Huh. You know, he has a point.
Yes, Philip said. So it would seem.
And now,
Magnus Galka shouted,
You'll all see what comes of resisting the will of Magnus. For lo, he shall execute the plan I devised under his supervision and which he approved. A plan that will make Camelot.
London,
Philip shouted.
Shut up! Camelot or London, whatever you call it, either name will be remembered for thousands of years.
Both names already were.
I told you to shut up. Camelot's remembered as a place of myth where great heroes triumphed and Helen Mirren walked around being hot. London is remembered as one of the world's great capitals where history unfolds and Helen Mirren walks around being hot. When we are finished enacting Magnus's plan, they will both be remembered for something very different.
For being places where a guy named Magnus was hung up on Helen Mirren?
No!
Magnus Galka nearly screamed.
They'll be remembered for death. Unrelenting, irrevocable, and above all else, memorable death. Death that will preoccupy the thoughts and haunt the nightmares of all who hear of it. Children will cry. Parents will shudder. Teens will pretend to be unimpressed, but we'll all know it's just an act.
Sid shook his head.
This is all getting needlessly wordy.
Gilbert said,
You're not really the best person to lodge that complaint.
Magnus Galka said,
Magnus will now unleash 10 plagues upon this city, and when he has finished venting his ire, the metropolis you see now will be an uninhabitable waste.
Oh, like in the Bible.
That's right. We're taking our inspiration from the Bible, You approve of that, Philip? Or do you think God's not all he's cracked up to be either?
No, no. It's fine, I guess. I mean, if you're going to copy your ideas from somewhere, the Bible's a pretty good choice.
No, not copying, taking inspiration. The 10 plagues of Egypt were the worst things anyone could imagine at the time. The 10 plagues of Magnus are the worst things we can imagine now. There are a few classics from the old list mixed in with the new, more modern, dynamic, and proactive plagues. Edgy plagues with attitude and sass.
Is the first plague a torrent of poorly applied marketing buzzwords?
No, shut up, Magnus Galka shouted. Magnus didn't want it to come to this, but you've left Magnus no choice. You've refused the commands of Magnus, your rightfully elected leader, and now, instead of Magnus's benevolence, you will face his wrath.
Magnus Rex nodded and said,
"Yeah."
Well said,
Magnus Galka agreed.
Subjects, do not waste your time groveling. The time for apologies is past.
Philip said,
nobody's apologizing.
You will face the 10 plagues of Magnus, starting with darkness.
Gwen said,
that was one of the 10 plagues of Egypt. You said you'd come up with your own.
I also said we're keeping a few classics as an homage, but it was the second to last plague in the Bible, and we're starting with it. It's just our jumping off point, eh? That can't be good, can it?
The cloud cover grew thicker, bringing the ambient light level down from the dusky gray it had been to the full pitch black of a moonless, starless night. The only illumination came from the persistent lightning bolt streaming into the castle, and Sid's mammoth neon sign on the roof. Magnus Galka let out an irritated grunt, and the lightning bolt disappeared. For a moment, the world went pitch dark, until a fresh bolt of lightning shot down from the heavens, striking the neon sign, illuminating it briefly while destroying it. Again, the world went dark and quiet, except for the concerned murmuring from the people huddling in the city below. A lone point of light appeared, a glow emanating from the head of Philip's staff, then from the ends of the other wizards' staffs and wands. Even Gilbert's and Sid's white-tipped walking sticks began to glow. Martin looked down.
I was about to suggest that we go down and help the citizens, but they seem to be getting along fine without us.
Below them, the wizards could see flickering points of yellow light, torches, and lanterns coming out of the buildings where there presumably had been cooking fires, forges, or candles. As the torches and lanterns moved out among the crowd, the city began to look much as it did on an average evening.
Your first plague seems to have fizzled, Magnus, Philip said. You didn't really think it through. I mean, you are menacing the populace with a problem they already face every night.
Yeah,
Magnus Galka said.
But this night will last for weeks.
If you're...
Philip stopped himself and winked theatrically.
Sorry, Magnus Rex's reign lasts weeks. Just to be sure, you know, I was winking when I said that. I don't know if you could see what with all this dark you've made.
Magnus Galka spat.
Oh, you think you're so smart?
Smart enough not to try to attack people with what is literally the first problem humanity ever defeated through technology. Our first invention took care of this.
Gary said,
what? The wheel?
No, Gary. The wheel isn't our first invention. Think about it. We'd have to invent the chisel to make the first wheel. No, our first invention was the cooking fire.
Not clubs?
Roy asked.
Okay,
Philip allowed.
Maybe our first invention was the club. I give you that.
Silence!
Magnus Galka shouted.
We're gonna hit you with our second plague, and it won't be anything you can defeat with torches. Behold, the second plague of Magnus. Fire!
100-foot wall of flames erupted from the forests and grasslands, surrounding the city in a perfect ring, like the burner on an immense gas stove. Waves of heat radiated inward. Everything within the circle was bathed in an ominous orange glow. The Thames, which even in this early age flowed through the heart of the city, began to slow. Not just the speed of its flow, but the roiling motion of the surface seemed to congeal, growing more viscous. A yellow-orange light appeared deep beneath the surface. All of the water had transformed into magma. For a moment, the buildings and people lining the riverbanks were lit eerily from beneath, as if God himself had put a flashlight under the world's chin. But the effect was shattered immediately when every wooden bridge, dock, or boat touching the river burst into flames. The wizard shot down toward the city, a swarm of black specks silhouetted in a sea of orange light. Sid said,
"Well then, so much for darkness, I suppose."
Magnus Galka shouted,
"We are done with darkness! You can't let yourself get hung up on your previous work!"
Sid shrugged as he and Gilbert headed down to help the citizens as well.